Good evening. This is the Anti-Midnight Special. Today is April 15th, 2020. You are listening to, again, the Anti-Midnight Special with your host, DJ Bert Sugarman, DJ Sugarman. And we're just yet in another week in the beginning of this viral epidemic. Now, we've already lost quite a few, famous people, but you know, you just, even in the music world, we just lost John Prine about last week. We lost a lead singer, a guy named Adam, who's the singer of Foundations of Wayne. We've lost a lot of jazz people, and we've also lost the Marsalis father, Wynton Marsalis's dad, and I'm sure there are more to come, unfortunately. To pick up the mood, I've got some really great tunes. We're going to start off with a prog tune called Refugees by none other than the Van der Graaf Generator. This was a late 60s, general 70s progressive band led by this guy named Peter Hamill. And at first, I really didn't know if I was going to like them or not. I thought their name was insanely cool, Van der Graaf Generator. I thought that was very, very cool. But they definitely grew on me. They remind me a lot of Cary Minear's voice from Gentle Giant, who did a lot of the higher kind of falsetto parts for Gentle Giant when it was not Derek Shulman singing. So anyway, this is Van der Graaf Generator with Refugees. Again, today is April 15th, and let's get right into it.
Somewhere years ago, and oh,
Man, I really dig that. I've been listening to a lot of their stuff. I just listened to the album that was off of. It's called The Least We Can Do Is Wave to Each Other. And they're big users of the Hammond B3 organ, which is a pretty retro style, kind of psychedelic sounding organ that a lot of psych bands would use. But I really dig them. They're still actually together. They've had some breakups over the years, but they're still doing stuff. Of course, right now, not really. No one's really doing much. And speaking of that, I saw, as I'm in LA right now, I saw that our mayor, Eric Garcetti, just said that almost all the concerts might have a chance of being postponed to 2021, which for me is kind of a death sentence for the next year. That would kill me. I don't think I've seen a concert since, oh boy, maybe, was it Filter I definitely saw? Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything since then, but, which was last November, actually, it was down here, and I still have my ticket, but I was supposed to go see Roger McGuinn, the singer of the Byrds, in about 2 weeks. I was going to be coming back here just for that show. That got postponed, and then I have tickets to go see Primus over the summer with my mom. Which is, that hasn't been canceled or postponed, it's, everyone's just kind of seeing how it goes, and I believe a day or two after that, or a week after that actually, is Phish at the Forum. I want to go see them too, and then the Hollywood Bowl has not yet canceled any of their tour, their shows, and, there's Steely Dan in June, which I'd like to go see. I believe that's early to mid-June, I forget which exact time. There's Steely Dan, there's John Fogerty playing at the Hollywood Bowl as well. That's probably one of my top concerts that I'm trying to go to. And then the other one was Bob Dylan. Over this year, it's been a pretty, within the last like year and a half, it's been a pretty great year for concerts. Personally, I got to see Bob Mould, Eric Clapton, John Sebastian, Filter, Jacob Dylan, who's Bob Dylan's son, and lots of great stuff, but it could be a pretty dead year this year due to the virus that none of us can seem to get away to. So this past week I did have a pretty strong phase with Graham Nash, one of the singers from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and one of the main background singers from the Hollies, and I really, really dig Graham Nash the most. Originally I was into Crosby the most because he was the former member of the Byrds, but I think Graham Nash is probably my favorite right now. I haven't had a phase with Stephen Stills yet. I'm sure that'll happen soon enough, but I really like Graham Nash. He's probably one of the most down-to-earth rock musicians that I've ever known or heard of, and he's just got a great voice, and I chose this next song because he's not the lead on this. Crosby's the lead on this, but in the chorus, which comes out about four or five times, I love Graham Nash's voice in this. This was from their original album, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Young was not a thing yet. This was about 1969 that they released this, and this is called Long Time Gone.
Peace to peace.
There's some organ in that one too. Yeah, that was Graham Nash on the top of the vocal right there. Crosby on lead, and all those guitar riffs were probably going to be Stephen Stills. It's a beautiful thing that what they were able to come together and do. Stephen Stills was with Buffalo Springfield, which I guess is the Buffalo Springfield. I didn't know that. In the same way that originally it was the Cream rather than Cream with Clapton. But yeah, Stills was in Buffalo Springfield with eventually the next part of CSN, which was Neil Young, who was also in Buffalo Springfield, the Hollies with Graham Nash, and then the Byrds with David Crosby. And being a North Hollywood resident, I have gone on a bunch of bike rides, you know, way back in high school, and I used to ride by this place called Art's Deli, and I just rode by it the other day, and it happens to just be the deli that Graham Nash went to one morning with Joni Mitchell when they were dating, I believe in the early 70s, if anything. And then he, on the way back to Joni's car, they found some Voss or something. I don't know if he means Voss like vase, but he found something like that. And they bought it, and then they got back home, and Graham said, "I'll light the fire, you go put some flowers in the Voss." And, of course, those are the opening lyrics to Graham Nash's CSN tune called Our House, which I thought was very cool. It's very cool to not only be a stone's throw from Lower Canyon, but that alone. I mean, I used to go by that place on the way to school every morning. So, anyway, the next song is not Laurel Canyon. Well, I guess it could be Laurel Canyon related. It's a song by Randy Newman, and it's probably one of my favorites. It was used in the Dodgers World Series, I believe, of 81 when they won the whole thing. And I dig this tune. I actually know this one of the Wrecking Crew members who played a live version of this with Randy Newman years after. It must have been in 2011 or 12 that they did this, but I was watching the video of Randy Newman playing this tune with it would have been John Fogerty, Tom Petty, and Jackson Browne with Steve Ferroni on there, and they actually had this pretty cool horn section, and this guy Gene Cipriano, one of the Wrecking Crew, was on there. I was like, oh my gosh, and I happened to meet Gene by chance, but anyway, so this is I Love LA by Randy Newman.
In New York City, cold and it's dead, and all the people dressed like muffins. Let's leave Chicago to the rest. That time, a little bit too rugged. Thank you.
that song. It's just such a pick-me-up. This next song is not a pick-me-up, though. this is a thrash punk song. Great transition, I know. this is a thrash punk song from the 80s. Excuse me. DJ Sugarman having a tough time breathing, which reminds me, you're spending your evening on 102.3 Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, anti-midnight special with DJ Sugarman, who's having a hard time breathing, I guess. This is a song by the DRI. What does that stand for? The Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. Now, I was lucky enough to know somebody, meet someone that was close, that, well, not necessarily close, but knew these guys way back when, and I that was my introduction to these guys, and I saw their logo, which is kind of a guy running, I think, like, as in, like, he's in the you know, mosh pit, circle pit, and I really, really liked their logo, and so I've realized that sometimes a band name or a band logo can just do the job and just bring you right into these guys. The birds was enough for me to be like, wow, that's cool. Like the BYRDS, like, oh, that was cool. Or or you know, anything that has that ring to it, or Gentle Giant. I mean, they put such a picture in your mind, and it's a real mind blower. I mean, you're just like, wow, how could someone tell such a story with one band name or one album cover or one album title? And that's usually what makes a great album, great band, or a great title. So anyway, this is DRI with probably one of the most popular tunes, called Abduction.
Thank you.
quite a scary song, especially with that last sound effect. But this I just play that because that was very much my one of the last songs that I found out about during school last year as we were about to finish up our finals and get going. And I don't know, I just have, you know, not the greatest subject matter on the song, but I just have a lot of great memories just hanging out with that song, especially at the April, the turn of May, pretty much. And so yeah, the next song is a tune that I probably feel like I played, or was played on the Speeding Towards Yesterday song with Doc Holliday. And I actually had something kind of funny about that. I know that there were a lot of Lori Loughlin updates on that show as the show went on and on. But I just saw that Lori Loughlin, who is still the subject of a pretty hot topic, she's they just released her daughter's rowing photos the other day. And it's proven to go against her. She's reported to be furious right now and has been asking with the arrival of this virus to have her court case just dismissed. And I think it's just so funny how the mighty fall. I mean, she's just struggling to maintain her freedom. And I feel like I had this thought the other day. I'm like, well, what if she showed herself helping, you know, families with the virus? Or what if she showed herself giving, you know, whatever amount of money she has, giving, you know, half of it away or something, even half, which, you know, and come down here like the rest of us. I think that would help people look more fondly on her, because she's, you know, if it's all true, if she truly bribed her daughters in, then, you know, that's been in the rules. That's breaking them so far. So, you know, I think she's got hope if she would do something financially and help some other people out who are dealing with the virus right now. But if she keeps on being her, I'm innocent, playing that I'm innocent card and not doing anything to support it, then I think she's just going to end up in jail the second that this thing is over. So, well, anyway, now that we're done with that terrible story, we're going to move on to a psychedelic song called The Psychotic Reaction by The Count Five, which was just a one-off album band. They were all about 19-year-olds when they created it, and it's a really, really great album. They had quite a few cool songs on there. The biggest one, of course, was Psychotic Reaction, which even Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers went on to cover, and the guitar riff is pretty cool, and they've got a very psychedelic feel. And then all the guys just went off to college and broke up the band pretty much they were younger than Buddy Holly before they broke it up. It's just wild to think about it. I mean, Buddy Holly was young as he was at 22, having died in 59 with all those hits already. I mean, these guys were even younger than that. Not that they died, but they didn't do anything after this. So anyway, this is The Count Five with Psychotic Reaction here on 102.3 Penguin Radio.
Thank you.
That is cool. Talk about psychedelic, and we're going to play a psychedelic song off probably one of the Byrd's most psychedelic albums ever, called Notorious Byrd Brothers. Think about the Count Five. I love how they had such a cool riff, and then they just went on into a completely random kind of blues psychedelic jam. It's a pretty cool thing to do, and unfortunately, I believe 3 out of the 5 members of the original band have passed on years ago, thankfully not from the virus. Well, not years ago, thankfully, I guess, but it's just annoying to see every day there's someone new that the virus claims. So we're going to play a pretty unknown, I don't even know if this was on the actual album. I think this may have been a deeper cut that was on a reissue as a bonus track, but this is a song called Dolphin's Smile. Again, this is, I don't even know, I don't even think Crosby was on this. You'll probably be able to hear it. But at this point, they were about to fire Crosby anyway, and Gene Clark was already gone, so it was only McGuinn, Hillman, and Michael Clark, who was about to leave anyway. So, in just, about 3 years, the Byrds had gone from all 5 to about 2 of them, and then Hillman eventually left anyway. So, pretty short span of the original guys, but so much for that. So anyway, this is Dolphin's Smile off of the Notorious Byrds Brothers. Notorious Byrd Brothers, that is. And I actually bought that album. That album was... It's a great album. It's probably one of the most psychedelic, I gotta say. Even probably about as psychedelic as Fifth Dimension. Not as folky as Turn, Turn, Turn or Tambourine Man, but they had a pretty big string of albums, and Sweetheart of the Rodeo and Notorious Byrd Brothers were pretty tough to get a hold of on vinyl on their original pressing. Notorious Byrd Brothers, I think I got for a steal at about $20, but they were normally going for $30 to $40. And then Sweetheart of the Rodeo is that, I believe that was going for about $60. It was kind of an expensive album because it was the folk rock breakthrough album that McGuinn and Hillman and Clarence White just kind of put together. And I think it was Kevin Kelly, who was Chris Hillman's cousin, on drums. That didn't last long. But anyway, this is Dolphin's Smile on 102.3 Penguin Radio. Sounds like Crosby's in there. I think that song is, although very short, I think it's one of the reasons that I'm such a fan of, as a guitarist, I really, really like 9 chords, putting that extra top tone in there. I really like 9 chords, I really like the 11 chords. Those 2 and 4 harmonies are really, really good. Another reason why I like Graham Nash, I mean, he was able to, I think I said it on last show, he was able to make those melodies come out of nowhere. because, you know, like the Everly Brothers kind of, I would say that they were probably the first couple of guys to bring melodic harmony singing into rock and roll. I mean, they were always doing it, and they usually sang in thirds. They were mostly thirds all the time. Then the Hollies came around, the Birds. I mean, I'm sure the Beatles. I know the Beatles were doing a lot of thirds as well, but those different layerings of different tones, sort of hard to work with tones, like singing in like sixth or seconds even can be challenging, or thirds. I mean, those are kind of the standard, and those I think those come most naturally. So, anyway, so our next song is speed forward 50 years or so, I want to say about 40. It's by a band called the Gaslight Anthem, and the song is called 45. It's a pretty cool little tune. I actually found it from a video game about maybe 6 years ago, and I think they're a really, really great rock band. I checked out some of their other stuff, and this is probably my favorite track overall. So, anyway, this is the Gaslight Anthem. The song is called 45, and I hope you enjoy it. Now, while I think that song is great, I got something perhaps arguably even better. No, I'm just kidding. I like this. These are totally two different songs. This is the last tune I'm going to play. Probably going to be the longest song I've ever played on here. And no, it's not a Grateful Dead tune. It's a song by a guy named Brian Patrick Carroll.
Sound familiar? Yeah, I didn't think so. He goes by the name Buckethead, and having seen this guy live before, he is scary. He didn't play this one because I don't know why, but it's actually his most popular song. But he played another song called Jowls, which I really liked, but this is his most popular song called Soothsayer. Very interesting song. I can only describe it as a 9-minute guitar solo, which kind of all his songs are anyway, but it's a wild tune. I mean, this it's a very, very interesting song, how he pulls this off. So anyway, this is Buckethead, Soothsayer.
Thank you.
I gotta say, I'm a pretty big, I don't know, kind of a big Les Paul fan. And, I mean, Clapton's played him. Everybody's played a Les Paul. Everyone wants a Les Paul, no matter who you are. You can't say you don't want a Les Paul. I've only played maybe two in my life, and one happened to be a 2018, so I haven't had really the greatest Les Paul experience. Not that it was a bad guitar, but we all know about Gibson lately. But I gotta say, Buckethead's probably got one of the coolest Les Pauls I've ever seen. I'm sure it was from the 90s or the 2000s, but it's a white Les Paul, and it's got two kill switches on it. I don't even know if it has like a pickup switcher on that. I don't know if there's the little toggle for it. He's just got, it's a stark white Les Paul, and it's got a up where the I guess it's, I don't even know what part of the, it's not like the cutaway, but the part aside from that, that's where the switch is. And then there's one over by all the other knobs. He's got two kill switches, and he uses it in almost every song. He knows how to use the kill switch very, very nicely. And I think Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine does as well. He uses the kill switch. So anyway, that was Soothsayer by Buckethead. That's a 9-minute song. It's a long one. Great one, though. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope you stay safe. I hope you have a good good week to come. And I'll talk to you guys next week. And stay safe.